My name is Renee Meehan, and I am a mental health program specialist with the New York State Office of Mental Health, Division of Forensic Services, and it's the Mental Health / Criminal Justice Collaboration Unit.
So tell me what all that means as far as your role with CIT across the state.
With CIT across the state, New York State OMH has a state-delivered program that we deliver to jurisdictions who are identified through the Senate in delivering that crisis intervention team initiative training. We contract with local mental health and law enforcement consultants to help us deliver that training. We don't provide the CIT that's associated with the jails. We focus on local law enforcement personnel and road patrol in delivering our CIT program. What our initiative and program focuses on is several different components. It starts with an initial kickoff meeting, which involves everyone who's involved in the upcoming year CIT rollout. So generally what happens is we identify anywhere from about 5 to 9 different local jurisdictions to be involved in the CIT program and to begin implementing it within their community. We follow the national recommendations for implementation of CIT. Then from there, what we do is we have a systems mapping workshop with each jurisdiction independently. And basically what that systems mapping workshop does is it brings all of the community resources together for both mental health and local law enforcement to identify the strengths of that community as well as the gaps and to figure out what the common goals are within law enforcement and mental health and sets out a stage as to how they can meet those goals throughout the next course of the year or so.
In that respect, what's been done here in, say, the Erie, Niagara, Chautauqua, Cattaraugus County area?
So we've done Cattaraugus, we've done Niagara Falls, we've done the city of Lockport as well. Within the last couple of years. Next year, we're focusing a lot on Western New York.
How many officers would you say are trained so far?
Approximately a little over 100 within Western New York jurisdictions that the state has trained. Now, other localities, other counties also have their own independent CIT program. And I know actually Western New York has quite an extensive one. Once a county has implemented a CIT program, they're all based very similar as far as the curriculum goes, so it would be a duplication if we were to go into that same county and replicate. We find them pretty comparable, so we feel like the needs being met by the county resources. So generally, we'll go to jurisdictions who have not yet received any CIT training to make sure that we're covering all of the jurisdictions that would need it. The actual training for specific law enforcement, it's important to note, is 40 hours, very specific to that jurisdiction training. And that's only part of the CIT component. It's an in-depth look at more of a systems change than just training specific skills. Although we do go into de-escalation skills, communication skills, using verbal tactics rather than force. So it is a shift in how we think and how we treat those who have a mental illness. We look at those indicators of emotional distress and what officers can look at to identify that they may be dealing with someone who has a mental illness and not just your, what we like to say, your typical bad guy, and then really look at what's the best route to go. Is it the stuff and cuff, like you said, or is it slowing things down, looking at the situation as a whole and what they're dealing with, and maybe the outcome isn't jail. Maybe it's a diversion into a mental health treatment program rather than incarceration. And that's really the key to the CIT. It's looking at how do you specifically identify individuals that you could divert from the criminal justice system to more appropriate treatment, not only for the individual suffering from mental illness, but for the criminal justice system as well. Where is the best use of our resources going to be for an individual who's suffering from some type of crisis that has been brought to law enforcement's attention? We often stress slowing down for law enforcement, and that's a little bit of a shift. They have, you know, lots of calls that they respond to on a daily basis, and it's hard to slow down and say, okay, well, if I take the time now and divert this person, there's a good chance that I'm going to, one, have safe outcomes for myself and for the individual I'm dealing with, two, hooking that individual into the appropriate services that they may need, and three, reducing the chance that you're going to have future contact with that person. So the outcome all around is what we stress. Officer safety is paramount. We always say that. We would never encourage or suggest that law enforcement do any kind of tactic that would put themselves or others in danger. But we do look at how they can make little changes.
So as you're doing these trainings, what kind of feedback are you getting from officers?
They actually really appreciate the training. So they generally have a little bit of an introduction while at the academy. This builds upon it. It refreshes it in their mind. And it also, I think, helps them to connect with people on a different level. We had a lieutenant from Niagara Falls PD who, after the following CIT training that we had in Niagara Falls, had a lot of officers approach him that had attended the training and said, wow, this stuff really works. He also said that he and two other officers from the class had responded to an attempted hanging the week after they had taken the CIT training. And they said it took them about 30 minutes to resolve the situation successfully. So they slowed things down. They took their time to really look at what the situation was and to really have a positive outcome. What was most impressive is that when the lieutenant was out in the community on his own as a civilian, the subject recognized him and actually came up to him and thanked him for intervening and gave the lieutenant a hug, which are the stories we like to hear. Those are the stories that we often don't hear. Those are the stories that we want more of, and we do think our CIT initiative is helping to really develop those stories.
Since you're on the state level, you can give a broader picture of the amount of resources that the state has put into this training as compared to the need. It sounds like you probably would want to expand something that's working.
Right now, I do think we are meeting the need that's out there between the state resources that are put into the CIT program as well as the local and county resources that are also being put in. I think what we're looking at for a challenge in the future is how do we sustain the communities in which we've already begun to implement the CIT program. With staff turnover in law enforcement and leadership, sometimes it can get lost with any kind of shift. And so what we're doing is we're working on implementing a train-the-trainer for those jurisdictions that we've already trained, and we'll be rolling that out next year for individuals who've already gone through the training to then be able to continue that within their jurisdiction. Really, it's a need to recognize that the CIT initiative is a collaborative systems response, and it's a systems change rather than simple police training. It's the sustainability, it's the change that we want to see to continue and to not, you know, not be a fad. We want this here, we want this to be a new way of policing, a new way of mental health and law enforcement working collaboratively together and really making an effort to change the system and actually align our resources to more appropriately respond to individuals in our community.
We've got a lot of folks in Western New York concerned about those with mental illness. What can you say to them to help them understand what's going on at a state level and where it's going?
I think joint responses, which is something that we promote through CIT, is efficient and effective in meeting the needs of individuals who have a mental illness in the community and reducing the likelihood that they will end up incarcerated. It's important to note that within our CIT program, in addition to just training the 40-hour-a-week road patrol, we also offer a mental health first aid training to all law enforcement, which includes corrections officers and first responders and 911 operators, so that they have a general knowledge of mental health and how to intervene and how to divert. And statewide, we also offer ongoing community forums and follow-up technical assistance with general trainings that we offer on an ongoing basis to law enforcement within any jurisdiction. We hear all the negative stories about individuals who have a mental illness living in our community, but the reality is they're actually at a higher risk of being a victim of crime. I think we need to look at the lack of connectivity to mental health services that do exist in the community and how it is we can connect individuals to the resources that we do have. And I think that's where law enforcement's new role kind of comes in. They're often the first point of contact with an individual with mental illness. I think it's also important to look at, it's a complicated population of people that we're working with. In addition to mental illness, they may also be suffering from co-occurring disorders, substance use, as well as co-occurring medical conditions and situational stress, homeless, domestic violence. We say that 90% of the individuals who are incarcerated have a assumption of trauma. So they've had some trauma in their life. So it's looking at the universal assumption of trauma and really looking at how we can best meet their needs as an entire system.